Let's look into God's Word this morning. Would you please stand and come to your feet out of reverence for God's Word and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at the end of this chapter, starting with verse 22 and read through verse 25. First Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. And he's quoting Isaiah 40 here. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, what we have just sung, Lord, really we want that to be the cry of our hearts as we are taking these moments in this week to hear your word. Speak to us, Lord. We have heard ourselves speak a lot this week. We've heard others speak a lot this week in so many different ways. But right now, in this moment, we ask, Lord, speak your word to our hearts. Grow us, change us, heal us, meet us, Lord, as we hear your voice today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't love you anymore. We both changed and we're living two separate lives. So let's just move on. Look, you crossed a line and there's no way I can ever go back to the way things were before. So many ways that love ends. There's so many reasons that we can give for how people can just in one moment be loving one another and then all of a sudden it's over. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails, right? Love never fails. But the problem is we fail to love. Love never fails. Love endures. It's the nature of love. It is an enduring quality. And that's what this passage of Scripture is saying. And yet, somehow, some way, we've made love kind of dependent on conditions and circumstances. And then we just come to places and points all the time. I don't love you anymore. That's a kind of love that is really not consistent at all with what the Scripture says, what love really is, what God's truth says about love. So how then in our relationships, in our families, in our friendships, in everything that we do in relationships, how can we love in a way that endures? Love in a way that doesn't fail. Love in a way that doesn't just fall apart. Because the nature of love, God's love, true love, is that love never fails. So how can I have that kind of love that doesn't fail? That doesn't just quit when times get tough, or when I get burned, or when things get rough in relationships, or there's misunderstandings. You know, there's all kinds of reasons. All kinds of reasons. How can I keep loving in ways that endure? We can all relate to this, right? Is it just me? So how do we do this? How do we do this? Are you with me? Okay. Think right now of where relationships are on the brink for you. Where it's right in that place where it can go on or it can quit. It's right there on the edge. Think of who? Think of a name. Think of a face. It's right there on the edge. And this is where you are in a moment of decision. You're in a moment of, what am I going to do? Am I going to quit or am I going to endure? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through His Word right now. There's a few things that this scripture speaks to us about how to love in a way that endures. One is we need to understand the truth. You notice in verse 22 what it says? Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. You purified yourself by obeying the truth. So first, the first thing I need to do is I need to understand the truth. Aletheia, what is the truth? I need to understand the truth. The one thing I need to understand is I need to understand the truth of myself. I need to understand the truth of my selfish impulses. As we read earlier on in this chapter, it speaks about how we can, in verse 14, it says, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. When you lived your life as if God did not exist, you didn't know God and God wasn't even relevant in your life, the way you lived was you just lived out of selfish impulses. And put it into context for yourself. We have in John chapter 13, the night before Jesus was going to the cross. There he gathers his disciples for the Passover meal in the room. The conversation among the disciples was basically, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Is it me? Is it you? I think it's me. You know, that was the conversation going into the upper room on the night before Jesus was going to die. If anyone might have had reason to be preoccupied with themselves, it might have been Jesus. Because he knew that he was about to die. He knew it. But what does he do when he gathers those disciples, that motley crew of self-absorbed people in that room? What does he do? He takes out his outer garments. Right? He wraps a towel around himself. He does the very thing that only slaves and servants would do. And then he takes a basin, brings the bowl, puts water in that bowl, and goes to each of the disciples' feet, washes their feet, takes the towel, wipes their feet, and the whole mood in the room changes because of that act of love. And what John says is an amazing, amazing phrase. He says he did it to show his love for them until the end. His love for them till the end. That means he loved them to the end. He loved them to the full extent that he could love them. He loved them. Meaning, even to the point in which he was going to die and leave them, he loved them. He didn't quit because they were getting wrapped up in themselves. He loved them to the end, it says in John. That's the kind of love that confronts us. And it makes us understand our own selfish impulses. And when we are so loved like this is when we really understand where our selfish impulses come into play. Take, for example, when you lose a loved one, or when somebody loses a loved one, and there is a person who needs to be loved. But how do we love? That when we're in places where where somebody is sick or somebody's suffering and we come to them and we're called to love, there's a battle that's going on inside of us. Am I going to love in a way that endures, or there are things inside of myself that get in the way of that? You know? Here's a few. And I think this is what the disciples were experiencing when Jesus was washing their feet. But the way that Jesus loves you and me makes us aware of some of these things ourselves. Think about this. Self-affirmation, some of these impulses, selfish impulses, self-affirmation might be one where I want to love this person in a way, but I, at the same time, I'm looking to be affirmed myself. And if I'm too preoccupied with, I need people to recognize me, I need people to tell me that I'm good, that I'm a good person and all that, then I'm going to be in that place and my love will go to a certain point, but it'll stop because I'm more preoccupied with myself, my own affirmation. So self-affirmation can get in the way. That's an impulse that reveals itself when I'm called to love. That can be a roadblock. Another roadblock, self-reliance. I don't know if I can love this person. I don't know what to do. I need a plan. What's the plan? I need to go get counseling. I need to get counseling training. I need to read a book or something. I need some sort of plan in order for me to figure out what to do. I don't think I can love this person fully unless I've got a plan. Give me a plan. What is that? That's just self-reliance. It's self-reliance. I need to know what to do first before I go and love completely. Another roadblock, self-preservation. Self-preservation. Oh man, what this person's going through right now is just messy. It's messy. I don't want to get messy. If I get close to that, I might get messed up. I don't want to get too messed up by other people's stuff. You know, and you start singing that Police song. Don't stand. Don't stand. Don't stand so close to me because you might mess me up. You might mess me up. I don't want to get messy. I don't want to get messy. Sin, that was for you. Yeah. A little police action there. But I want to be safe. I want to be protected from that stuff. If I love in a way that endures, I might get messy. So that becomes a roadblock for being able to love in a way that doesn't fail. Self-preservation. Fourthly, another roadblock to love that endures, that is a selfish impulse, is just self-satisfaction. Self-satisfaction, meaning if I'm going to sacrifice and give and I'm going to love somebody in ways that costs me, but I'm preoccupied, well, what about my happiness? What about my joy? What about things that make me happy? That's going to be a roadblock to my ability to really love somebody in a way that endures. So self-affirmation, self-reliance, self-preservation, self-satisfaction, all of these are selfish impulses that kick in moments when we're called to love in a way that doesn't quit. Understand that. Understand the truth about ourselves. We need to own that. Own what's your thing? You know? What is your thing? Where does it come up in moments when you're called to love in ways that endures? What is it that is the impulse in you? You need to understand that and own it. And understand that this is something that hinders my ability to love somebody else. What is it for you? But the other thing we need to understand of the truth, we need to understand the truth about our own selfish impulses, but we need to know the truth and understand the truth of God's love. So when he says, now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth, he's saying, here's how that purification of all those selfish impulses, that's what gets purified. What needs to get purified? Those selfish impulses. So what's going to really do the work of purifying our selfish impulses so that they're out of the way and I can love? It is to know the love of God. I need to understand the truth of God's love. What's the truth of God's love? We've looked at that all throughout this chapter, in chapter 1. The truth of God's love. What is it? What is this truth that will then purify our hearts of our sinful and selfish impulses? It is simply this. That while it's like we were like Adam, just go back to the garden and just identify with Adam. There God created you and me, to have a relationship with Him, to have a fellowship with Him, our Creator and the creation, enjoying all of His goodness and all the things He's made. But in a moment, we leaned on our own selfishness. We sought our own glory, like Adam did. And he said, I want to be like God. Reached over, ate the fruit. And the selfish impulse led to his doom. His rebellion and rejection of God led to him being separated in a way that fractured him and broke him. Same thing happened to us. When we said, I'm going to live for myself, I'm going to live for my own ambition, for my own glory, for my own name, what happened to us? There we were, walking out, far out of all God's blessing, and there we were, left for dead on the side of the road. Now, God, all of heaven would have said at that moment, God, you are absolutely justified in bringing justice right now to Jeff. Absolutely justified. That's what he deserves. And you are just, and all the angels would have agreed, and all the angels would have expected in that moment, what? Judgment. Judgment. But God does the unthinkable. After loving Adam and after loving us and then seeing us offend him, what does God do? He goes into the garden again and he says, Adam, where are you? While God could have been out there saying, we'll leave Adam to what his doom is, judgment before me because he's offended me, he goes back into the garden and seeks the very one who offended him. That's a love that doesn't quit. It's a love that does not fail. And in seeking Adam out, he also said to Adam, here's a remedy for you. Here's the remedy. And he gave us Jesus. Jesus came into this world to do one thing. He came into this world to die. He came into this world to take upon himself the judgment that we deserve for our rejection of God. So that we wouldn't receive it, Jesus would. God's love doesn't fail. It doesn't quit. It seeks us out even after we reject Him. And then it provides a remedy for our salvation. So then we can experience a salvation that brings us back to becoming to the children of God and receiving even a greater blessing than we had before. That's love that doesn't quit. That's love that endures. That's love that doesn't fail. We need to understand. Do you understand the love of God? Do you understand it in ways that you see God pursuing you with such a relentless love that He gave everything He could to take you and reach you while you were in sin and bring you to a place where there's an even greater blessing than you've ever known before? Wow. That's love that doesn't quit. Do you understand that love? Do you understand it? Maybe you don't understand it in the sense of how can God love this way, but do you understand in a way that you've experienced that love? That's the critical issue. To really understand the truth, you need to experience the truth. Have you experienced this truth? And so that's what he means by saying you need to understand the truth in a way that you can experience it. So when you obey the truth, that means that you are surrendering and submitting yourself so that you can experience this love for yourself. And what does it take for you to do that? It means I'm going to surrender and own up to all my selfish impulses. This is why Jesus died. I'm going to own it. I'm going to say this is what's hindering my relationship with God and my relationship with all others. And the moment you do that, you see God coming to you with Jesus, with the cross. And there we find ourselves, like we sang before, at the cross. I bow my knee where your blood appeals for me. And then you experience that love. So, one, understand the truth of yourself. Understand the truth of God's love. And then secondly, he says, live it. Live the truth. Live this truth. How? so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another. Love one another deeply from the heart. So I need to understand that truth, but now live it. If you've experienced this truth, you've got to live this truth out. It's the nature of love. Love doesn't just stop with you. It doesn't say, I've loved Pira. Great. That's where it'll end. No way. The nature of love itself is that it will reproduce itself and endure. It'll live on. It'll live on. It'll endure. That's the very nature of God's love. So in at the end of that verse it says, you have a sincere love for your brothers. A sincere love. The actual Greek word sincere is no hypocrisy. No hypocrisy. A love that has no hypocrisy. It's not fake. It's not a front. It's not just, here's a nice face. Here's some nice Christian warmth for you. And then that's it. It's more than that. It's not just that. We're glad to be in a family and where there is warmth, isn't it? That is a good thing. And that comes from God's love. But it doesn't stop there. The nature of God's love does not stop with being able to say hi and welcome somebody with warmth. It's important, but it goes beyond that. It says, love one another deeply. Now, there's two aspects to that word deeply. Deeply can be either love somebody fervently, you know, just genuinely, passionately. That can be one aspect of it. But the other aspect of it, which is more true, is love constantly. When he says love deeply, it means love constantly. Now remember, how are you going to love this way? It's when you experience God's love this way. This is where it starts. This is not a lesson on moral behavior. Okay, this is not a lesson of, hey, here's some principles for loving. Now go and practice it this week and get back to us next week and tell us how well you did. It doesn't go that way. It starts with, have I surrendered myself to be loved by God as much as He wants to love me? That's where it starts. So this deep love is a staying love. It's an enduring love. It's a constant love. It keeps loving. It keeps on loving. Keeps loving even when people fail us? Yes. Yeah. And every time you hit a roadblock where you think, how much should I love? How long should I love? You know where you go? Where you go? Well, what if God loved me the way I love people? That's where you go. If God loved me and said, well, I'm going to love Jeff, and, you know, as long as he, you know, keeps his nose clean and, you know, doesn't, you know, use any bad words, or he never sins. How long would God love me then? How long would God love you then? If His love stops whenever we sin, then, well, we're all on a slippery slope to hell then, aren't we? But how long does God love us? Scripture says His love covers a multitude of sins. Multitude, not when He hits the first one. The second one, the third, fourth, fifth, 70th, 100th time He loves us. He keeps on loving us. He keeps on loving us. That's the reality of God's love. Deeply. So I want to then love this way. Now, I need to first experience this love for myself. So what he says in verse 23, he says, this is how you were loved. You have been born again. Rebirthed. Rebirthed. And when you were rebirthed, God took you, remember, dead off to the side of the road, and He recreated you to be a loving person. He recreated you to be a loving person. And how did He do that? Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Now, I wish Curtis was here. I needed a biology teacher here, because this is a very interesting word in the Greek, seed. It's the only time this Greek word is mentioned in all the New Testament. It is spora. It's not sperma. which is where we often see seed. It's spora. Spora has more to do with plant life. Spora, right? Spores. And I was Googling, go and Google the difference between spore and seed. Very interesting. Spores are released by certain plants, and the quality of spores is this. Here's the difference. In order for spores to fertilize and become another plant, it has to leave the plant. It gets ejected by that plant first. It gets, if it's a fungus, the fungus then expels it, so then the spore goes out and then it reaches another plant, and then it goes and fertilizes, becomes a new plant. A seed doesn't do that. A seed, it stays within the plant. The seed stays there, within the plant, and as it stays there, then the pollen comes, and then it fertilizes there within the plant, and then it becomes a new plant. The spore gets sent out in order to recreate. So it is with God's Word. When God sends His Word, He sends it out. He sends it out in a way where you see, look at the end of verse 25. This is the Word that was preached to you. So God sent out His Word until it got to you. And when it got to you, it recreated. It made a new birth. It made a new creation out of you. The other thing about spores that's interesting, because it has to go outside the plant, it is a lot more endurable than a seed. Because out in the environment, it's more exposed to all the elements. And so by nature of that, a spore has to be endurable. It has to be able to withstand extreme weather conditions. And so what does that say about the seed, the spore of God's Word? God's Word is enduring. That's what He says. It is imperishable. Imperishable. All men are like grass. All their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, flowers fall, but the Word, the spora of the Lord, stands forever. And that spora is the spora that reached you and recreated you to become a new person, a loving person. Do you know that's what's been going on in you? That's what happened to you. That happened to you. God sent a living, enduring Word to you that changed your life from being dead to now being alive and a loving person. Now I'm living for the glory of God. It's about Him. It's about other. It's not about myself. I'm living for God's glory and I'm loving other people. Because God recreated me to be that. Now, sin, you're about to give birth. Two sin mentions in one sermon. But about to have a baby, and there's something beautiful about having a baby, right? Something wonderful about bringing a new life into the world. Something that God has created and formed and has a wonderful just beauty about it. But just having a birth is not enough. There's a purpose behind that birth, and you want that baby to grow. You want that baby to mature. You want that baby to fulfill its purpose in life. That's what's also wrapped up in birth. But if that baby just stayed a baby the rest of their life, then that's not good. It's not good. So it is with us. You have a Word from God that is living and enduring in you, that recreated you to become a loving person. It's not going to stop its work until you love the way Jesus loves you. That's our maturity. That's our growth. Our whole purpose, because we've been newly created to be loving people, is to grow, to learn, to love like Jesus. That's it. That's it. So, how do I then do that? How do I love in a way that endures? Number one, I've got to understand the truth about my own self. You know, I cannot go and love in my own strength because why? I have my own selfish impulses that are always going to get in the way. I need to own those, but I then need to understand and experience the love of God. Which means I gotta really deny myself. I gotta deny myself and completely humble myself before God and allow Him to come to me and do a new work in me, recreate me to be a loving person. But then what? Now there's somebody who's suffering. Now there's somebody who's right there that God brings into my life and I need to love them. Do what God did. Do what God did. He entered into your life. You enter into theirs. You enter into their life. It says, literally it says, have a sincere love for your brothers. It's a Philadelphia. That's the word, Philadelphia in the Greek. Have that brotherly love, that brotherly affection for one another. Don't fake it. Don't pretend. And don't pretend that you don't need to be loved either. But go in with that kind of love and just do what God did. Enter into a life. You remember Job and his friends? They were there too. They saw Job and his suffering. And they kind of started well. They did okay. You know why? Because they just sat there and listened to Job. That's one of the things that when God deals with our selfish impulses and we're purified of our selfish impulses, we'll realize it's not about us. It's not about showing how adequate I am or how affirmed I am or my plan or anything like that. And when that gets out of the picture, you know what? What all you're able to do, need to do, just enter in and be with somebody. Be with somebody. When you can sit along somebody who is grieving, or somebody who's suffering, best thing you can do is do what Job's friends did early on. Just be there. Listen. Feel it. Be there. Enter in. And don't say a word. That's hard if you're going to be all about your own self-adequacy and, you know, affirmation, your own plan. But when you know that that's what God did for you, He entered in and He was present. He put on the likeness of yourself. He showed up. That's something that Jamal kept saying. You remember something that my dad would say to him all the time. My dad would say, Jamal, you know the people who love you are the ones who show up. They're the ones who show up. The ones who are going to be there. Not really do anything, but they're the ones who are going to show up and be present. That's enduring love. That's what God does. Enter in and just show up. And then empathize. Empathize. You empathize by listening. When you hear a person, you start to understand what their needs are. And when you understand what their needs are, you can pray. Pray for them. Pray that God would meet them where their needs are. But empathize with them. Empathize with them in a way that they can say, you know what? You understand what I'm going through. You understand this. And you can say, you know, you are sad. You are grieving. This is painful for you, isn't it? Those kinds of words of empathy bring you right into where they're at. And then they can just say, you get this. That's what Jesus did. We can look to Jesus and we can say that here's somebody who empathized with our weaknesses. He experienced everything we've ever experienced and more. He understands. Jesus understands. What a friend we have in Jesus. Someone who understands us. Be that kind of person. Show them that you understand. But also elevate their focus toward God. Elevate their focus toward God. You know, when people are going through a lot of stuff and they're feeling a lot of emotions, then they can go in so many different ways, so many different directions. They can get angry. They can get bitter. They can withdraw completely. They can be looking for something to replace or to feel something else. So many things people can do. So many different directions. And when you're there and you're sitting there, you're entering in, you're empathizing, that's when you can start directing. Let's look to God. God loves you. God wants to be present with you. He's with you right now. You can be sad with God. You can be angry with God. You can be hurting with God, but everything you do with God, and that's where you can come in and say, God is here. He never leaves or forsakes. He's here. Will you go to Him? Will you go to Him? Elevate, focus towards God. And then endure. Try to think of four words that start with E to make it easy for you. So enter a life, enter in. Empathize. Elevate their focus to God. And then endure. Endure. Not because you're going to get into places and times when they're going to hurt you. They're going to say things that are going to be hurtful. People say a lot of things that come off hurtful, but a lot of times it's not personal. It's just they need to release things. They just need to release. I'm angry, and sometimes it comes off like it's against you, and it's really not. It's just that they need something to release. In those moments, don't make it about you. It's not about you. But the best thing you can do right there is just simply listen. Hear it, receive it, and endure. Instead of, oh, you shouldn't have said that. That was mean. I'm leaving. That's enough. No. Love endures. Because love, once you empathize, you understand there's so much going on in people's lives. So much that they need to release. Can you absorb? Can you absorb? How do you absorb? The way God does for us. When Jesus was on the cross, He absorbed all our sin upon Himself. That's what Jesus did for you and me. If you understand that and you've experienced that for your own life, then you know, I'm going to stay in this thing. I'm going to stay right here. He suffered. He absorbed. He did it all for us. And so there you have this path. This path that first goes through the cross where you experience the love of God for yourself. And then all of a sudden that displaces yourself, your own selfish impulses, and you're washed by His love. And then as you're washed and you understand this, you then submit yourself to it. I'm going to receive this love. I'm going to let this love form who I am. I'm going to order my life around this love. That's what it means to obey this truth. Obey the truth means I'm going to let my life revolve around God's love. I'm going to let everything about me be formed by this. And then live the truth. Live it out. Live it out. Enter into a life. And do what Jesus did for you. Just do the same thing. The more that you experience this love, the more that you understand it, is the way that you're going to be able to love in a way that endures. Because it doesn't come from yourself. It comes from above. This love comes from above. Everything fades away. Everything. When you try to love in ways that come from yourself, it's what the Scripture says. All men are like grass. It just fades away. When we try to love just in our own strength and without God, it just fades away. Like the flowers. Like the trees. Every time you walk into this place, you pass a few trees. And if you come to New Life long enough, you'll see that those trees change almost every time you come. Sometimes the leaves are gone. Sometimes it's in full bloom. But then sometimes the leaves go back again. Fade, bloom, dying, blooming. Put that in total contrast to the God you're going to worship when you come into this place. He does not fade. He does not die. He lives. He always lives. His love always endures. That's the contrast. Every time you walk into this place, you can make that contrast just by looking at the trees. But then even just by looking at yourself. When you look at yourself, you understand, ah, I am faithful and I'm unfaithful. I love and then I stop loving. But God never stops. When you come into this place, make those contrasts. All the time, make those contrasts. Because there is no one who loves us like God does. Do you know His love? Do you know His love? In this moment, you might be understanding God's love in a way that you never have really understood before. And it's becoming clear to you. You're understanding something about yourself, about who God is. Will you receive His love? Will you receive Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior? Will you surrender to Him and come to the foot of the cross where you see Him? And then say, Lord, I want Your love to recreate me, rebirth me, make me a loving person that is fueled and inflamed by Your Spirit of love alive in me. Maybe for you, that's something you've never done before. Will you surrender to God's love today? And maybe if you have, there's a purification that needs to take place, not just in salvation, but in that constant coming to Jesus where our selfish impulses just get the best of us, sometimes daily, and we need to go to God daily for purification. And I'll just close with this. Remember back in the upper room with the disciples, Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, and He came to the writer of this epistle, Peter. And when He came to Peter, Simon Peter, in his own impulsive way, says, Lord, I will not allow You to wash my feet. I won't let You do it. Then Jesus says, unless I wash your feet, you will have no part of Me. To which Peter then replies, well then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands, my feet, my body. Give me a bath, Lord. I need You to purify me all over. And Jesus said this, Peter, you're already washed, but you need your feet washed. Meaning this, that if you've been purified in conversion, if you've experienced God's salvation and God's love is in your heart, that's good. But there's a second kind of purification that Jesus is referring to there. He's saying, every day, come to Me. Because sometimes the selfish impulses get the best of us and we need fresh cleansing. We need fresh experience of His love. Every day we come to the foot of the cross where Jesus' love recreates us, washes us, reforms us, and redirects us so that we can then be focused on living for His glory and for the interests of other people. That's who you are, Christian. That's who you are. God created you to be a loving person. That's your identity in Christ. Now do it. Let's pray. Lord, You have brought us to the very edges of where our limitations are, right up to the places in which we come and oftentimes finding ourselves quitting on love because of our own stuff, because of our own impulses, because of those urges that kick in, Lord, that really is just about ourselves. And Lord, we want to come to You right now in this moment and say, Lord, we need fresh love. We need Your love to displace our selfishness. We need Your love to come and wash us. Lord, seek us out like You did for Adam. You're doing that right now. You're saying, where are You? And Lord, we don't want to hide. We want to come right before You because we need You. We need You to forgive us and wash us. And we need Your Spirit to be alive in us, God. So in this moment, we say, Lord, cleanse us. Thank You, Jesus. Would You, in Your own way, in Your own ways of praying, in Your own ways of speaking to God, would You just share about that one person that you thought of early on, where it's on the brink, it's on the edge, there's a turning point, there's a fork in the road. Your relationship can go on or it can fall apart. In this moment, will you just interact with God right now? Ask Him, what do you need of Him? What do you need of Him? Turn to Him right now and be specific. Do you need His love? Do you need His Spirit? Do you need His forgiveness? Whatever it is you need, just speak to Him right now so that you can love in a way that endures. Thank you. prayers. We need you. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't have to be about us, but it is about your word just making us alive, Lord, to you and to others. So we stand, Lord, today in the cleansing flow of Calvary. Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. You are our loving Savior, and Lord, we ask that you would just wash us anew. Nourish us, Lord. Nourish and feed us, Lord, with your love. Make us whole. And make us instruments of your healing, Lord. Lord, may we love with such a bold love, the way you boldly loved us, Lord. So hear our prayer, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen.